darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. Joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, oh, I just looked like the video streamed and hit a snag there. Oh, thought you had it. We'll be right back as soon as we can. We're joined by producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated. Right now, he's going around with the live video stream feed. The real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen, he's in the screening room, quite perturbed at the moment, but he's going to be all right. We're going to be all right as we go forward with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family. I will continue to emphasize this because it is vitally, vitally important that we have a proper calibration in our minds and our hearts as to what is and what must remain primary. I don't point this out to ignore or to denigrate other stations of life and other relational makeups. Now, let me be clear. When I say other relational makeups, I'm not talking about counterfeits of marriage and things of that nature. I'm talking about God knows when we are in a stage of singleness. God knows when we, you know, are widowed or widowers or, you know, we're empty nesters, the various stages of life that comport with his natural order. But make no mistake about it. He has ordained family as the foundation of society. Family, with marriage at the center of it, is the first human institution that God has ordained and established. He did that intentionally. He did that understanding that the primary unit that will result in world shaping is the home. It is the family. We know this for many different reasons. This is why mental health professionals usually begin all types of sessions, no matter what the issue is, with one question. Tell me about your relationship with your father, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, it doesn't matter who it is, because God ordained fathers to make this outsized imprint on the lives of individuals. God ordained mothers to make this outsized imprint. You have grown people become athletes. What do you want to do? I want to buy mama a house. It's a part of what God designed us to be. And of course, society works, the devil works, the flesh works to pervert God's good and glorious design. But we must understand that. So as you're making your transition to your full-time jobs, as you are listening to me, and I thank you for doing so, there's so many different things available to you now. You're certainly not obligated to tune in here, but I'm grateful for you doing so. I would ask that you would share the program with your friends, your family members, your loved ones, to inform them about what you are enjoying. It is vitally important. It helps to grow the program for you to share it. So we're looking forward to that happening. But as you're making your transition to your part-time job, understand the primacy that God places on family, and welcome his primacy to inform your engagement. You know, I tell moms, you know, the whole notion of I'm just a mom is a non sequitur. No such thing as just a mom. Fathers and mothers shape the world. I'm telling you straight up. The enemy works overtime to deceive us of that notion and to get us to cede our authority and allow Antichrist position holders to shape the hearts and minds of our future generations, of our current generations. We resist that, man. To the word of God, we go. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. I'm going to go to one particular portion of scripture, and I want to connect this to what we talked about yesterday, reading from the Declaration of Independence and recognizing that the idea of unalienable rights applies to individuals. And that flows from the understanding of the Imago Dei. The concept of individual liberty is directly connected to the theological reality of the Imago Dei, the Latin phrase for image of God. Human beings are made in God's image. Genesis 1:28 is the first command that God articulates to mankind. And it says this: God blessed them. And this is the humankind that he made his own image. He made them male and female. God did that. That is why there is no such thing as 256 quote unquote genders. He made them both male and female. God did that, which is why we can discern this fact at the cellular level in biology. We've talked before, you can exhume a skeleton, the skeletal remains that do not have any visible organs, and we can determine whether or not that is a male or a female because God designed us that way. Then verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, I want to spend some time on the latter part, subduing the earth and ruling over every living thing. The flying creatures, the birds of the sky, the swimming creatures, the fish of the sea, and every living thing that moves on the earth. This is the four-part command we've talked about before, each component building upon the next component, each subsequent component requiring the prior component. Multiplication requires fruitfulness. Filling the earth requires multiplication. Subduing the earth requires the earth being filled, etc. That's how it works. I explained before that the Hebrew word for subdue the earth is kavash. It means to make the earth subservient or to make it conducive to maximize human flourishing. God, from the very beginning, was invested in his earth being cultivated for the express purposes of maximized human flourishing. God was invested in that from the very beginning. This is why he imputed to his image bearers the capacity to do so, describing them as being made in his very own image, in the Selim and the Demuth of God himself. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, we should never be surprised that, well, what is the nation in the history of the world that served as the seat for the most earth-shaking innovations in all of world history? Well, that would be the one nation that is committed from its foundational level to the preservation of these rights that are unalienable. To say this differently, we should not be surprised that flourishing has been maximized in the place where mankind's freedoms are most protected. It shouldn't be surprising. The converse is also true. The places where mankind's freedoms are most constrained always become the places that are the most soul-crushing for mankind, which is why you have very little innovation coming from those nations historically. And I'm saying historically because I want you to have a broad scope assessment of this notion that I'm presenting to you, not just a microcosm, not just a two-year window, a five-year window. I'm talking about over the span of human history. It's not a surprising thing because God designed mankind from the very beginning, having made us in his likeness and image, to be able to kavash his earth, to be able to make his earth conducive to maximize human flourishing. This is why historically the communist nations have not been very good at innovation. Usually when there is innovation, it's the product of espionage because they've stolen something from a more free people. And the same thing is happening today. Then I want you to note this next component, and to rule over the fish of the sea, the swimming creatures, the birds of the sky, the flying creatures, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Notice the Lord didn't say, unless they're bigger than you, unless their size is more intimidating. No, big creatures, small creatures, God has given mankind the capacity to rule over them. It's a feature of God's good design. So when you have the notions of, you know, free expression, you recognize that free expression, mankind's liberty in communicating ideas without fear of government reprisal, often corresponds with man's greatest innovations. Greatest innovation. And the opposite is true. Because of God, the Creator, and I talk to my children about this all the time, because we are made in His image, God's people, especially those of us who are born again, we don't need to copy stuff from the world. If you are in Christ, you should be among the greatest creatives, whether you are musically inclined, whether you are poetically inclined, whether you are a filmmaker, whether you are a manufacturer, a designer, an architect. Whether you are one given to the mathematics and given to the sciences, coding and linguists. We, having been plugged into the vine, abiding in the vine, we are tapped into the ultimate source of creativity. The greatest artist that ever is, or ever was, or ever will be, is the Creator Himself. And those of us who abide in the vine, we have access to similarly create. So I'm explaining all of this to talk about, yes, these macro assessment of the phenomenon of creativity and innovation. This is why the concept of hyper and overregulation stymies economic activity, stymies innovation, stymies those things. The removal of those regulations allows industry to flourish. And to drill this down to the individual, many of you are listening to me, you have desires to make things shake, to make different moves in this year. I want to tell you that you won't be able to pursue those moves by turning away from the Lord. There's no way you can untether, to dislodge yourself from the vine and expect to thrive. It ain't going to happen. If you have ideas and you want to see them come to fruition, there are songs you need to write, there are businesses you need to start, there are ideas that you have locked up in you, you're not going to have those things realized by turning away from the Lord. No, it's not possible. The only way for those things to truly meet fruition is by abiding in the vine, plugging into the vine, which is why Jesus said it himself. He is the vine. We are the branches. Apart from him, success is not your future. So if you desire these things to come to fruition, especially those who are listening to me, you might have strayed a bit. You know, you've become a bit slack. Different things have happened in life, and now you're a bit distant, maybe not anchored in the local church. The only way forward in fullness is to return to the Lord. It's to return to the Lord. If you're listening to me and you're not a believer, I want to encourage you to refuse to resist the Lord's drawing, because he's faithful. The Lord draws. Refuse to reject the call of the gospel. Today is the day of salvation, because God is long-suffering. But long is not forever. You should surrender your life to the Lord while you have the opportunity. Jesus said, work while it is day, because there's a time coming when it's nightfall and no man will be able to work. It's not surprising that where freedom abounds, innovation tends to abound likewise. The reason for that, folks, is because God made mankind in his image. We are made in the likeness and the image of God.
A A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Thank you so much for tuning into the program. I want to let folks know, if you are in the Hope, Arkansas area, I'm coming your way. March 1st, Saturday, March 1st, 2025. I will be joining the Garrett Memorial Christian School family for their fundraising gala. Tune in. I'm going to be sharing information as to how you can get tickets to the event. I am looking forward to it. This will be my second time in Hope, Arkansas. Looking forward to that. See the family of God there and the people coming out to support Christian pedagogy, which is vitally important. We have to understand that the call to make disciples includes cultivating the mind. Jesus himself said, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. And your strength. For far too long, we've ceded the area of the mind to God haters. And look at our nation. See, every tree bears fruit. The type of tree is made evident by the fruit that's born. And for far too long, we've allowed our young people to be discipled, having their minds cultivated by people who hate God. We shouldn't be surprised then that those who have been discipled into that direction live a lifestyle that indicates God hatred at its various levels, which is why it's far more prevalent for the notion of nominal Christianity at best, if not outright Christ rejection, because we've had generations of our fellow Americans who've been discipled by the world. But Christian pedagogy, and not Christian because you have Christians doing it, but because the content and the substance of what is conveyed is anchored in a biblical worldview. Vitally, vitally important. So mark your calendars, March 1st, 2025, Garrett Memorial Christian School in Hope, Arkansas. We will be there. All right. So much to get to today. So the Lake and Riley Act passed by Congress. We'll get to that if we have time. But I'm going to start here. This is very interesting to me. And I'll set up this portion of the program by asking you, do you trust this? So you have all of these tech giant leaders and all, they're flying to Mar-a-Lago. They want to gain an audience. They want to gain an audience with one Donald Trump, you see. It's because before you were against the family and now. And interestingly, day before this announcement, Mark Zuckerberg announces that the Meta board of directors, which, you know, Meta is the parent company that owns Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp, they announced new board members. UFC president and very well-known Trump supporter Dana White is now a member of the board of directors for Meta. Interesante. You know, the CEO and president of UFC. You also have the Stellantis and Ferrari chairman, John Elkann, added to Meta's board of directors, as well as Charlie Sunghurst, former general manager and head of global corporate strategy at Microsoft, added to the board of directors. And then, following the announcement of these gentleman being added to the board of directors at Meta. Then you have Mark Zuckerbucks. Zuckerbucks came out with a video where he decried the prevalence of the censorship of speech on his platforms and promised, I promise you, you know, Hope Arkansas is my mind. I did not. promises less censorship. It needs to return to free expression. You know, that is what drove the establishment of Facebook, which became Meta in the first place, according to the Zuckerbucks. He announced a plan to do away with fact checkers. He also noted, and by the way, the election seems to be a result that showed that people are far more interested in free expression and free speech. So we're going to get rid of fact checkers and we're going to go to a model kind of like the artist formerly known as Twitter. X, he didn't say that, the artist formerly known as Twitter, that's what I said. He just said X, where they use community notes. You know, we're not going to have fact checkers that are as active and things of that nature. I want you to hear for yourself. Listen to and watch Mark Zuckerberg explaining that we've now reached a cultural tipping point, once again, prioritizing speech. Clip number one, go.
Hey, everyone. I want to talk about something important today because it's time to get back to our roots around free expression on Facebook and Instagram. I started building social media to give people a voice. I gave a speech at Georgetown 5 years ago about the importance of protecting free expression, and I still believe this today. But a lot has happened over the last several years. There's been widespread debate about potential harms from online content. Governments and legacy media have pushed to censor more and more. A lot of this is clearly political, but there's also a lot of legitimately bad stuff out there. Drugs, terrorism, child exploitation. These are things that we take very seriously, and I want to make sure that we handle responsibly. So we built a lot of complex systems to moderate content. But the problem with complex systems is they make mistakes. Even if they accidentally censor just 1% of posts, that's millions of people. And we've reached a point where it's just too many mistakes and too much censorship. The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms.
Now I know that there's substance I'm going to get to, but y'all don't think I'm just going to let it pass that Mark Zuckerberg sitting out there letting his fro grow with his black t-shirt and his gold chain swinging. Y'all don't think I'm going to let that just go by without a mention, do you? You know, look like Mark Zuckerberg went down to Southern California, hook up with Tone Loke, you know? Hey, Loke. Zuckerberg's letting his fro out, you know? Zuckerberg, I bet Zuckerberg's got a pick with a fist clenched just a little bit to his left, I promise you. Zuckerberg's saying, I'm gonna do some mixed martial arts, you know, I'm gonna get into some farming, and I'm gonna let my fro grow, and I'm gonna get my elbows up and start rocking. You see that chain he had on, Jeff? Oh, Zuckerberg, boy, you are hilarious. I didn't see no smartwatch on his wrist, you know. You let him keep talking, he gonna say, hey, homie, see what it is, homie. You know, I had to go to Mar-a-Lago, homie. We talked to Don, man. We talked to Don, cuz, and see what it is, homie. We tired of people telling us we can't say nothing, chief. We tired of it. We tired of it, Lo. All right, back to what's important. Maybe it was just me. Maybe I'm the only one that saw that. So my question for all of you, do you think this is real from Zuckerberg? That's a no from Bobby. What say you, Jeff? Do you think this is real? It's a no from Jeff. So if it's a no, what do you think is really up here? And what's, Bobby is rubbing the finger. Bobby's saying, money. What money? Where's it coming from? What's the deal? What's going on? From the government. Research and development funds. All right, I see you. I hear you. So this is what he's saying, that when they go back to speech and he goes through a whole litany. This video was about 5 minutes long and some change, and he goes through things that it's saying. It seems rather convenient to me, you know? Rather convenient to me this is happening. You want to know what I think is really happening in addition to what you're talking about? I think he's realizing other platforms are beginning to outpace him in authentic engagement. Beginning, moving in such a direction that if he doesn't make a move, if he doesn't make a move, that ultimately will result, because one thing Zuckerberg knows is technological innovation. One thing he knows is the proverbial maxim for entrepreneurship, change or die. And notice, and maybe I hadn't played that clip yet, I'll play it next. He said, we need to go to a format a little bit more like X. Instead of fact checkers, we need to use more of a community notes kind of program. Listen to and watch clip number two. Clip two, go.
More specifically, here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X, starting in the U.S. After Trump first got elected in 2016, the legacy media wrote nonstop about how misinformation was a threat to democracy. We tried in good faith to address those concerns without becoming the arbiters of truth. But the fact-checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created, especially in the US. So over the next couple of months, we're going to phase in a more comprehensive community notes system.
See, I have this small problem that I listen when people are speaking. See, you can't just get this past me like this, Mr. Zuckerberg. You say that the legacy media, not me, y'all, not me, the legacy media was over there talking about, with Trump's election in 2016, we need to be on the lookout for misinformation. Misinformation. And then he said in the exact same voice, and we try to respond to that. We try to respond to that concern without being the arbiter of truth, sir. Sir, that is an oxymoronic statement. How can you?
Scenery coming.
How can you respond to the legacy media's concern about misinformation? And then the question should be, you said it yourself, the misinformation concern corresponded with President Trump's election. Huh. Why wasn't there a concern about misinformation before? Point one. Point two, how are you going to be a platform for people to convey information, yet at the exact same time you say, but we want to express our concern and implement things to prohibit the spread of misinformation, while at the exact same time saying, but we're not going to be the arbiters of truth. That the very operation makes you the arbiter of what you believe, not only of what is true, but what is worth being disseminated on your platform, Chief. See, I have this funny other penchant because I understand the foundational unalienability of the freedom of speech. I don't trust people who exhibit a willingness to curtail that freedom of speech and then all of a sudden go, oh, my bad. I didn't mean it. Because you know what it means? That you didn't really understand the foundational enduring notion of freedom of speech to begin with. See, if there's any errors that should take place, there should be an erring on the side of the unalienability of the rights, not an erring on the side, well, legacy media says misinformation and we must go along with it. Then, of course, I'm not going to leave out the whole little small detail that the misinformation concern was also expressed to him by government officials. I'm not going to leave that out now, am I? When you have the FBI rolling up and say, hey, I just want to let you know, old Mark, Hey, Mark, there's something that could be coming, you know, or something. I won't know what it is. It could be something kind of like a laptop, you know, and it might have some things on it that could be bad for Joseph Biden's reelection. I just want to tell you, it could come out like that. And if it does, I just want you to know that it's Russian misinformation, very likely. And then Mark goes, oh, golly gee, what do you know? Sure as the big bad government officials told us, look at what's he, see, my point, folks, my point here is that you are either a First Amendment embracer or you're not. This is one of those things where there's no middle ground. And the First Amendment, we've talked about this before, it's not an unlimited phenomenon. You can't do illegal things, shout fire in the theater, things of that nature. It doesn't give you license to lie about others. That's why we have laws against defamation and things of that nature. But when you understand the foundational rock rib notion of freedom of speech and freedom of expression, you don't have these, you know, I don't know what it was. We just had this 8-year affair with being the ones who were the arbiters of truth. But now all of a sudden, you know, Zuckerbucks even went down south with Song Tone Lope. You know, start sea walking and things. And now he's like, you know, now we're going to get rid of the fact checkers. He was like, hey, and by the way, we're going to move a portion of our accountability functions away from California. We're going to relocate them to Texas, you know, because we don't want to have our operations questioned based on the location of our operations for certain portions of Meta's business. So all in all, I hear what you're saying, Zuckerbucks, but I might not be from Missouri, but you better show me. We'll see. I don't think Zuckerberg's announcements are motivated by some revelation, some altruistic epiphany that has transpired. I think something else is going on. And I think the ultimate thing is that he wants to keep Meta competitive with others. He mentioned X. I didn't mention he mentioned X. But I also think he's trying to curry favor with the incoming administration. You don't just all of a sudden lose your penchant for, shall I say it, Stalinist information dissemination. So we'll see. We'll see. You're listening to and watching the Hamilton Corner. We have more to get to. When we come back from the break, I'll ask another question. I know the acronym for the political phrase MAGA was Make America Great Again, but who knew? Could Make America Great Again also include Make America Add Greenland? We'll get into it when we come back from this break.
Will you help us send persecuted Christians around the world exactly what they're praying for? And that's a Bible to be able to endure and persevere. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International. It wasn't too long ago that I was in Indonesia, the largest Muslim-majority country in the world, where a local evangelical church was introducing Muslims to Jesus Christ.
They want people not to just go to church, but to really understand who Jesus is. That's why they started to go from house to house, door to door.
They lovingly shared the gospel. But this happened.
Because they didn't like it, they started to throw bombs to the church. People threat to kill them.
But persecuted believers, they love their enemies and they count it all joy to suffer for the Lord Jesus.
They didn't give up because they know that God will be there for them.
Help us bless persecuted believers with their very own copy of the Bible by the end of January at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at sendbiblesnow.org. SendBiblesNow.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Well, during the campaign, and I heard lots of it, many of you did as well, President Trump saying a bunch of things. America needs to take back control of the Panama Canal. Canada needs to be the 51st state of the United States of America. Which, old Kaiser Trudeau chunked the deuces, huh? But he also mentioned the desire to purchase Greenland. Now, I'll tell you, I didn't really take that seriously until today. I didn't take it seriously. I mean, because it's easy to talk, you know, President Trump is going,
some people say that I've been the greatest person ever to live. Some people say I would never say that myself, but some people say it, you know,
it's quite bombastic, this presentation. You know,
some would say, Jeff, some would say you're very good, the best producer ever that ever. Some would say Jeff would never say that himself. Some would say, you know.
But today, Donald Trump Jr. landed in Greenland with Charlie Kirk on President Trump's private plane that he likes to refer to as Trump Force One. Which made me think, you know, private plane flights are not cheap. Fuel that you employ are not cheap. It made me think, could there be something to this? And I'll tell you why I am thinking this. But before I explain why I'm thinking it could be something to this, more than I thought previously, because before this day, I wasn't taking President Trump seriously about the whole Greenland thing. But now I'm like, that sure is a lot to go through. We ain't like rolling up in the garbage truck during the election because Mr. Robinette said, you're garbage and all your supporters are too. You know, like the Wicked Witch. You and your little dog too, Toto. You know, rolling up in the garbage truck. That's, you know, that's a low threshold. It don't take much to roll up in the garbage. But you got a contingent dispatched to Greenland? Listen to and watch clip number 3. This is Donald Jr. in Greenland today. Clip 3. Go.
Just really excited to be here. Awesome country. The scenery coming in was just spectacular. Just very excited to be here.
Do you have a message from your father?
He says hello.
Okay, to whom?
We were talking to him yesterday, so he says hello to everyone in Greenland.
Okay, are you still interested in buying Greenland? Or?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. No, we're not meeting any politicians here, so that's not on the schedule. We're just here as tourists, looking at it,
seeing everything. Could you tell them about the American interest in Greenland? There's been so
well, no, yeah, that's not for me to talk about. That's for others to talk about. But
thank you, guys.
We're just excited to be here. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that is it. Bobby asked a question that I'm assuming that he expected the reporter to ask. Why would you be there? You know. Donald Jr. said, we're not meeting any politicians. According to Mr. Trump, he's there on an interest mission. That's what his father, Donald Trump Sr., said. While President Trump is at Mar-a-Lago, he's asked, and we noticed your son landed in Greenland today. President Trump said it straight up. Denmark needs to give it up. Denmark needs to give Greenland up. Can I tell y'all why I think he's taking it seriously now? Before today, I told you I didn't think he was serious. I think it's serious now. And this is why. By conservative estimates, the United States of America is approaching $50 trillion in debt. The biggest driver of that debt has been a bipartisan project of the last several decades to spend into oblivion. I am grateful for DOGE and even bringing the issue of the need to cut spending back to the surface. However, I'm going to tell you, the biggest DOGE fight, pun intended, that's going to take place is Republicans and Democrats who are not going to allow spending cuts in the significant and substantive levels that need to take place. Now, I think the American people have a role to play in that, that we need to put pressure on the Congress to do it. But let's be frank. Another contributor, because we like to talk about the politicians, the bipartisan spending frenzy. You know why they spend like that? Because American people like it. That's why. Some people want to talk spending cuts until their benefits have to be reduced. All right? So if you are President Trump, you recognize you have one term to make a significant impact. And really, you only have 2 years because the campaigning in earnest in Congress is going to begin in 2026. Straight up. What would you consider? Well, for those who may not understand, that it's not. And look, well, I'm telling you, we have some brilliant people who will listen to and watch this show. Comment from a viewer. It's not what's on the surface of Greenland, but below. Trump is not known for doing things nilly-willy. Ding, ding, ding. You just rung the bell. Let me tell you why. Why do I think President Trump is serious about Greenland? In addition to the physical presence today made it a real deal for me. You want to know what Greenland is known to have in abundance? I'll just read it to you. Greenland is known to hold excellent potential for a host of natural resources, including zinc, lead, heavy, light, and rare earth minerals, copper. But here's some of the biggies. Iron ore, gold, oil and gas deposits. Greenland, which is currently a territory of Denmark, has not had much natural gas, oil, in elemental exploration. It's almost like an untapped resource of pretty significant land size. So if you are a potential, let's put you in a position of commander-in-chief, and you need to make, let's say, big moves into reducing inflation, having sources of valuable materials and resources that could aid in the economic despair of your nation. You study world history, it's either you got it or you go get it. I believe President Trump is serious about this in light of what transpired here today. Now, the Prime Minister of Greenland said Greenland is not for sale. All right. I'll just say it this way. The not for sale term has been used plenty of times as a bargaining chip. A lot of us don't even realize you
dollar take.
We did buy Alaska from Russia. Because of the natural resources that are present in Greenland, I really think President Trump is serious about this. I think he's serious about it. And, you know as well as I know how he wants to make an impact this term. Not to mention the strategic location of Greenland in terms of having, military resources that can get anywhere around the world quite quickly. I think he's serious. Now I think he's serious. I didn't think he was serious before today. I think he's serious today. When you consider the bevy and there are things that are available, you can see plotted maps where gold is located, where things are located, and you can see its proximity to, shall I say, the unfriendly guys in the school box. I think it's a big deal. And if President Trump can pull this off, this would be a big deal for our nation. It would be a big deal for our nation. All right. A lot of things are happening from the ice cream man or the people that are handling the ice cream man that, in my view, they are being done intentionally, not merely to sabotage President Trump's attempt to sabotage President Trump's assuming of the Oval Office, but also, frankly, to make the world a less stable place, if you can even imagine that. I mean, the overwhelming amount of the usage of the pardon power, the release of Gitmo inmates, the unilateral proclamation of a permanent ban on oil and gas exploration across 625 million acres of federal land. It's not going to stand, but he's going to try to do it. And then this one. And this one will seem on its surface. And I know the spin will be, oh, we need to protect an American corporation. What am I talking about? There is a Japanese company, Nippon Steel, N-I-P-P-O-N Steel, that has been negotiating to acquire U.S. Steel for $14.1 billion. The acquisition would require for the U.S. Steel company's operations to continue on U.S. soil to keep every one of U.S. Steel's employees continually working. It is more of a collegial merger between U.S. Steel and Nippon Steel as opposed to a hostile or even simply a takeover of U.S. Steel. This deal has been in negotiation for quite some time. All of a sudden, Mr. Joseph Robinette, Biden, or should I say, whoever is doing the Weekend at Bernie's dance in Mr. Robinette's stead, has all of a sudden announced that Mr. Biden is going to use executive action to oppose this deal. The spin, of course, is, oh, we need to preserve this for America. But of course, as you always know, you got to get into the details. Listen to and watch clip number four. Clip four, go.
A $14.9 billion with a B, a dollar takeover of U.S. Steel by Nippon Steel. A decision that comes after weeks and months of speculation here. This is an iconic American company whose sale to a foreign buyer, the president has at least subtly signaled that he is opposed to now for weeks. But the decision coming today, I want to read to you part of that statement that we just showed to viewers. The president saying, a strong domestically owned and operated steel industry represents an essential national security priority, and it's critical for resilient supply chains. He goes on to say that he's taking action to block the deal because, of course, his solemn responsibility as president is to ensure that now and long into the future, America has a strong domestically owned and operated steel industry, but just exercising an enormous amount of executive power here. The timing is also notable, as of course the president will depart the White House in just a few weeks.
Now that's the spin they're going with. Oh, this is to protect American industry. Now, when have you known Mr. Joseph Robinette to commit himself to, dare I say it, make America great again? To have an America first disposition? Let me just get right to it. Let's toggle over to what Chinese media is saying about this. Mm-hmm. The South China Morning Post, which is owned by a Chinese tech company that's committed to, quote, improving China's image overseas and combating what it sees as anti-China bias in foreign media. They published an article saying, Cooperative Tokyo finds America a demanding but ungrateful boss. The subheader in their story goes on to insult both the U.S. and Japan, saying the deal is dead. Everything Japan did to accommodate its American partner, now they're getting rejected. Chinese media is celebrating Joseph Robinette Biden's rejection of the Nippon Steel U.S. Steel merger. Why, you ask? Just a little fact for your information. You know who's the global dominant party in steel production? China. China produces as much steel as every other country combined. You know where most of China's steel goes? Right in its own country. The overwhelming majority of Chinese steel never leaves the country. But the very small amount of exported Chinese steel exceeds the total amount of steel produced by the U.S. or Japan. China knows if Nippon merges with U.S. Steel, they immediately become the second largest steel company in the world, which begins to rival the global domination that China has on steel. So while they're trying to sell domestically that Mr. Robinette is trying to protect an American company, it's actually the opposite. He's trying to help China. And what was that about that email that was in that laptop that said, wait a minute, got something from the big guy? Where was that deal coming from again, Bob? Oh, that's right. That was a deal with China. So while you're using the public spin to say this is to protect an American company, you dig into the details of the deal. The merger was going to protect the American company. The thwarting of the deal hurts U.S. Steel and helps China. Isn't that an interesting conundrum in the last few waning hours of the Biden administration?
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.